Item O, this is no action required, but there may be public comment, Justice Miller.
Right. This is item O, AOC restructuring efficiencies and restructuring at the Legal Services Office. Any public comment? There is none, Chief.
Yes, ready? Great.
Thank you, Chief. Good afternoon. This is not an action item, but an information item, and it pertains to the efficiencies and restructuring of the Legal Services Office. By way of background, the SEC recommendations, which gave rise to the Judicial Council directives in August of 2012, among other things, made specific point of evaluating what was then known as the Office of General Counsel, subsequently renamed Legal Services Office. Those directives were considered by the Council at its February 2013 meeting, and the Council charged the then liaisons to LSO, Justice Miller and Edith Mathai, to examine an issue. Their examination led to a global assessment of the concerns identified in the SEC report that gave rise to the Council directives, which in turn resulted in a report 4 months later to this body in June, which in effect created recommendations for the consideration of the administrative director that superseded, if you will, the directives previously issued by the Council, seven in number. And the Council adopted those recommendations and called upon the administrative director to report back in March. We didn't have a council meeting in March, so this meeting was selected for that purpose. Relative to the determinations that I had made in consultation with the chief of staff and with the new chief counsel, Debbie Brown, who took office at that point in time, and the council was aware and so granted us an additional increment of time to enable her to imprint her own management on the office. So we return today with a report of status to you relative to the efficiencies and the restructuring that have been undertaken at LSO as a consequence of and in specific response to the seven recommendations that were made by Justice Miller and Edith Mathai as counsel liaisons to LSO. I suppose I should indicate for context before I turn things over to Debbie Brown that in that period of time that I've discussed, the overall population, if you will, of staff at LSO has gone from 75 to 44. The overall number of attorneys practicing in LSO during that same period has gone from 50 to 32. Without, I think it goes without saying, any diminishment in their charge. So with that, over to Debbie Brown.
Thank you. And I want to introduce Bob Buckley. He is the sole remaining managing attorney, the senior managing attorney in the Legal Services Office. And he oversees four of the six units in the Legal Services Office. So he's here to accompany me and answer any questions you might have. I know it's 3:10 on Friday. I will try to be very quick. I do want to let you know we have implemented six of the seven recommendations of the liaisons. One of those was implemented with one variance. The one that was implemented with a variance is the first one I want to talk about. That is that the LSO should be restructured with a management team comprising a chief counsel and three managing attorneys over three distinct service areas. With that one, those three distinct service areas, first of all, are judicial counsel services and legal opinions. The second area is the transactions and business operations unit, including the real estate unit. And the third is litigation management and labor and employment law. We have taken measures to implement this structure. We no longer have an assistant chief counsel. Instead, we have a senior managing attorney, Bob Buckley. We have no other managing attorneys at the moment. We have been recruiting for two other managing attorneys, and we hope to hire those very soon. At that point, we will have the structure recommended by the liaisons for the upper management team of the Legal Services Office. With respect to the second level of management of the Legal Services Office, the liaisons recommended that it be split into, with each of those two service areas, client basis. So that on the one hand, there would be Judicial Council Services and the AOC. On the other hand, there would be the trial courts. We have taken a variance here in that we think it is a better customer service model for us to actually split up by subject matter group, so that we would be split up within those areas. For example, litigation management unit and labor and employment law, with a senior attorney or a supervising attorney over each of those two subject matter areas. In that way, we're able to provide immediate assistance and the subject matter knowledge, for example, in labor and employment law, to the clients. The next one that I want to talk about is the role of the chief counsel and the expectations for that role. The liaisons did recommend that it be clearly defined. They attached to their report a detailed list of the responsibilities of the chief counsel. We have adopted that. The next one was that the liaisons recommended that we should adopt a formal structure to solicit client feedback on a regular basis. Attached to the report that we provided you as attachment C is a draft survey. We intend to send this out to the courts later this year. I'd like to first consult with David Yamasaki, Mary Beth Todd, Judge Walsh as to the best way to do that so that it has the least impact burden-wise on the courts. The next one, the protocols for LSO's use of outside counsel should be strengthened to ensure that outside counsel is used in the most cost-efficient manner. We have taken several steps here. First, as recommended by the liaisons, the protocol for the retention of outside counsel has been amended to require managing attorney approval of the hiring of outside counsel. In addition, on an annual basis, we intend to review the annual attorney's fee surveys prepared by various organizations to ensure that the fees charged by outside counsel are appropriate and reasonable. Third, we do intend, after the conclusion of any significant litigation, arbitration, proceeding before the Public Employment Relations Board, to send a short survey to the court so that they can assess the outside counsel. In addition, we will provide reports to the Advisory Committee on Financial Accountability and Efficiency at the request of the committee about our use of outside counsel and the cost of outside counsel. The next recommendation was that AOC should continue to support the existing practice of permitting attorney resources to reside in AOC field offices, provided there is proper oversight and accountability. We do have attorneys in our field offices, both in Burbank and in Sacramento, and we have added that for an oversight matter, if any attorney is out of the office, they will need to not only report to their direct supervisor that they'll be out of the office, but also to someone on site, so that there's the double check there. The next one was that given that LSO employs administrative staff to support LSO attorneys with administrative tasks, it did not appear to the liaisons that there was a need to create a paralegal classification. We agree with that. We are not pursuing creating a paralegal classification. And then finally, the last recommendation was that all staff outside of LSO providing legal advice or legal-related services that require a law degree should establish a dual reporting relationship to LSO and their current office. This one is the one that we have not yet implemented. We believe that it would be better to wait for the results of the class and comp study so that we can see if any attorneys in other offices remain in the attorney classification or maybe reclassified if they are not providing legal advice or legal-related services. So that will give us more feedback to assist us in implementing that. In addition, in all honesty, given that it's just Bob and myself at the management level, the executive management level, it seemed a little difficult to implement that one right now. That completes my report. I am happy to provide more information or answer any questions that you might have.
Justice Miller.
I thought it would be appropriate to maybe lead off the discussion since it was Edith Mathai and I who undertook this examination and followed through with the work. And I wish Edith was here because she would, I think, be very happy to see the efforts that have been made and the progress that has been made. And I will make the comment with regards to the one variance that both Edith and I knew that once a new chief counsel took over, that we also wanted to leave some discretion to make changes that you felt were appropriate to implement how you thought the office should work. And so I can't speak for Edith. She's not here, but I can tell you in my discussions with you and the review of your report that I agree with the variance and the recommendations and the progress you've made, and I think you should be commended.
Any discussion or further questions, observations on this non-action item?
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you, Justice Miller, and thank you, Edith Mathai, for working with LSO on this. As we're going to conclude today's meeting, as we always do, with a remembrance of judicial colleagues recently deceased. There were six of them since our last meeting. All were retired from the bench. They are Judge Alan McCone, Orange County Municipal Court, Judge Robert Gallivan, Superior Court of Orange County, Judge John Ingro, Superior Court of San Bernardino County, Judge John Fitch, Superior Court of Fresno County, Judge James Barakat, Stanislaus County Municipal Court, and Judge Henry Ramsey, Superior Court of Alameda. We thank them and honor them for their service to the courts and to the cause of justice. We conclude our meeting. We meet again in June 26 and 27 here in San Francisco. Thank you for your work and your attention and your diligence.